Well, welcome back once again. We're here in my shed. Still haven't upgraded those digs. This is, of course, the Gentlemanly Confabulation Podcast, edition number 2. Just have my friend John with me here in the shed, and he's lighting up a very nice stick right now as we get this podcast underway. John, welcome.
James, wonderful to be back in the shed. I think it's perfectly equipped for the two of us. It's got a nice wood feeling to it. We've got an ashtray, we've got cigars, we've got booze, and most importantly, we've got us. So let me tell you guys a little bit about what I'm smoking today. Today I'm smoking a Recluse Amadeus, and this particular Recluse Amadeus, because there's two of them, is the Amadeus Habano Reserva. And what's special about this one is it has a nice red band compared to the white band that the other Recluse Amadeus has. It is a sidewinder shape, and according to Recluse, a sidewinder is the best of both worlds between a box press and a regular circular cigar. Personally, I didn't realize how thick it was until I went to go cut it, and the cutter did not cut through. I need a bigger gauge, so I would tell you, if you are going to get an Amadeus Recluse, to pick up at least a 60-ring gauge cigar cutter, because this is huge.
And Sidewinder, that's a name we didn't know about until we actually had to look it up right before we jumped on.
Yeah, I had to go look up what it was, because obviously it looks like a box press. I mean, it's flat like a box press. I'm not sure. It must be just one of those selling points that companies do.
Well, it looks, you know, not to belittle the point here, but it definitely looks thick. Yes. You know, it feel, and you know, when I felt it earlier, we're really getting personal here. it certainly felt thick, and that's one reason why. I mean, I think even if you would have been able to do a V-cut on that guy, I think that would have been not enough, because it looks like it's too packed. It looks very nice. What kind of smoke are you getting off of that, John?
Well, let me tell you guys a little bit about the wrapper and what's inside. So the wrapper is a Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. The binder is a San Andreas Mexican binder. Filler is Dominican. In the country of origin is the Dominican Republic. Right off the bat, when you smell it, you get that wonderful cigar smell. It has a nice velvety feel to it. I mean, it feels like a high-quality cigar, which is awesome because it was also apparently one of the cigars of the year in 2015. And it feels like it would be a cigar of the year in 2015. You just need a bigger cutter. Smoke that I'm getting from it, nice easy draw. I'm getting some cedar. I'm getting some caramel, sweet notes, a little tiny bit of spice, nothing overwhelming. Just so happens it's the second podcast we do, and I'm pretty sure I've got another wonderfully mild cigar.
And I think for myself, I'm also enjoying my my choice, my selection. I went with a Diesel uncut. This is a Toro. I'm told that apparently this is filled with a Nicaraguan leaf, and then it's wrapped with a Pennsylvania broadleaf wrapper. Definitely has a lot of spice coming off of this guy. Probably even more so than the one that we had last week. You know, nutty, definitely nutty. Maybe a little cedar in there. You know, so that's the start. I did have a V-cut for myself because I'm that kind of guy. Yeah. And after you just couldn't do it, I said, you know what?
I couldn't do the V.
If he can't do it, I'm going to show him up and I'm going to do it.
You did.
And I did, because I'm that big of an asshole. That's just what I do to my friends. But so far, so good on this guy. Looking forward to it. It's a nice draw. And the thing that I'm really excited about is the fact that, you know, because this is a spicy, darker guy, that this should pair very well with what we're drinking. And this is a new find for John and I. We've never had this. This is a first. We went out to the liquor store together after we looked for some XLR cables together, which, I mean, that's a little techno-geeky, I guess. But just so you know, you can get those at Radio Shack, but not lapel or lavalier microphones.
Also, just so you know, Radio Shack is still open.
Like, not in all locations, though.
Correct.
Make sure you check. You know, use your smartphone. Maybe send a fax to somebody.
That's true. Radio Shack would still use
fax. You know, they would. They, even ones that aren't still around may use a fax. I take that back. Don't fax. Text. But we're really excited about this drink today. It's actually, you know, we've all seen, I'm sure, from the cranberitas that are sold by Budweiser, and there's, you know, these are all over the place, pre-made drinks.
Right.
This is one we've never seen because, you know, you wouldn't think that they would do this pre-made.
No.
It's very interesting. This is, it's a pre-made whole bottle filled with Old Fashioned.
One of the most delicious drinks you can have.
Well, I mean, being such big bourbon aficionados, it makes total sense.
Yep.
That the minute we saw that, at first we didn't believe it.
Correct.
I thought that it was some sort of like a recipe on the bottle for an Old Fashioned, or it was some Old Fashioned way that nobody knew about.
Right. I mean, I thought it was a gimmick bottle. I thought it was just them saying like, oh, check out our Old Fashioned bourbon that is made in Boston. So it's a local bourbon for us, which was awesome.
I mean, this is by Bully Boy Distillers, just called the Old Fashioned. You know, obviously important to understand what is in an Old Fashioned to begin with. Of course, we've got either some kind of bourbon or whiskey. This particular kind by Bully Boy Distillers has some American straight whiskey in it. And then, of course, what really defines the Old Fashioned, besides usually a piece of fruit in there, usually an orange I like to do, Maraschino cherry is nice, but bitters and sugar. You know, Aragostino bitters, I believe. Usually a couple pulls of that, and then some just muddled sugar, and then you're good to go. You know, even looking at the color definitely looks right.
Oh, this looks spot on to be an Old Fashioned.
So, John, let's do a little cheers here.
Cheers. That's delicious.
I mean, it tastes exactly
that's delicious
like an Old Fashioned.
And I think, obviously, you and I have been many places and had Old Fashions at many different bars. And a lot of times you go to a bar, and it's true, it should be the easiest drink to make, just like it says on the bottle. However, the most difficult to master. And a lot of people screw up making an Old Fashioned. This is pretty much spot on.
It's not too sweet.
No.
Not too bitter. It really seems to hit it right up the middle, which is what you needed.
This is going to be, I feel like, a very dangerous drink for the two of us. There's going to be times where we're going to
have to lock our
keys.
It's a good thing the bottle is not too close.
Yes, that is true. We did leave the bottle inside.
Yes, we did, because we're trying to be responsible.
Right.
Now, that's not to say that after we're done recording this, we're not going to go back and have some more.
So we have our American honeys, which I am a huge fan of, because it's just sweet, it's alcohol, it's delicious. It's perfection in a bottle.
It makes you, it harkens back to the days where, you know, you'd make a mead, you know, that out of honey and fermented whatever you had around. And we really, you know, we've tried just about every kind of honey that there is.
Yeah.
And our preference definitely is, I would say, American honey.
Well, there was also that Patty's Bee Sting.
Ooh, that's right. But that's harder to find.
Yes, there's only one liquor store I know where to find that, and that's in Central Mass.
Look, I only know one way to get to anywhere, so that's going to be hard.
Yeah, that's true. But this wonderful Old Fashioned in a bottle by Bully Boy Distilleries is definitely now one of my top drinks, and I've had one sip of it.
I mean, we'll do a behind the scenes right now. Mm. We did not test this because we wanted to be straight and honest with you when we tried it. However, my wife did try it beforehand, and she said that it was delicious, and she is not a big whiskey, bourbon kind of gal. So for her to give this two thumbs up.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And I think her flavor profiles on what she picked out was perfect.
Absolutely.
Little bit of peach. A little bit of peach in it.
I can get, it's kind of peach colored.
Yeah, it's thick, but it's not syrupy.
Correct. And that was my big worry in buying it, because so often when you do this, too syrupy.
Yeah.
In the pre-mades.
Yeah. I'm thrilled that there's an Old Fashioned in a bottle that's better than some places I've been to that have been freshly made.
That's correct. You know, and thinking about our history with Old Fashioned, Old Fashions, I should say. Mm. I mean, we have an Old Fashioned history, too, just in general. But I think that maybe the first time we ever went out together, our first mandate, which was in a former railroad complex.
I think you're correct.
I believe we had oysters and some Old Fashions.
God, yeah.
So there you go.
That was such a perfect mandate.
It was. And really, things have only gone upward and onward from
there. That's true.
Which is outstanding. John, let's talk about something near and dear to our hearts, talking about ourselves and our history.
True. We're talking today about watches. Our love of watches, what we think of watches that we have. James just got some new watches in. He's going to talk a little bit about them. We're going to talk about monthly watch subscriptions. We're going to talk about what watches mean to us. If you love watches, this is the podcast for you. If you don't love watches, you're still going to listen to this podcast because you will end up loving watches.
That's correct. Maybe not as much as we do, but you'll still definitely appreciate them.
Correct.
So let's just start off the bat here by going, talking a little bit about kind of how I got into watches. Let's just briefly, we'll do a brief how we got into. So I can remember definitely it started for me, I think right after high school, probably college. And being an idiotic college person who believed he had lots of extra money but didn't, I'd go around to, you know, the Nordstrom's and the, you know, the hoity-toity places in Boston. Because I went to the one and only Emerson College. Shout out
to Emerson.
I'm part of the Emerson Mafia. That's a real thing. You can actually look that up. It's very self-serving, but that's fine. So I would go around and look at all these luxury goods that I thought that I could really afford, but of course, you know, I really couldn't.
Right, you're in college.
So, you know, I would buy, like, suit jackets and fancy jackets and things like that. And then, you know, after I bought so many of those, I was like, well, I can't buy any more of these. What else can I buy? So then I'm looking around at the stores, and I see, obviously, the watch case. And I'm like, these are interesting. And I believe the first night, really, like, over $100 watch I ever bought was a Fossil. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big Fossil fan. I think that they do a good job every couple of years of kind of really switching up their lines, their look. They try to go along with the style. I remember some of those early watches were just horrendous looking.
Yes.
I mean, they had weird dials and they almost looked like bracelets. But I mean, that's what it was. I mean, everybody was, you know, wanted to look like they were in a Limp Bizkit video because people were idiots.
But, that is true.
Yeah, yeah, that's the truth. So, but now obviously they've changed. They're very much gone more old school and classy with their designs for this year. And I was looking at these for a while before I actually made the purchase. I got two.
Okay.
I bought them right from Fossil. The first one is the Dean Chronograph, and we're gonna, you know, we're gonna put some pictures up of the unboxing we're gonna do afterward. It's very nice. This is a kind of watch that you could wear. It could be fancy, but it could be an everyday. It's just a straight silver stainless steel. I believe it's a 45 millimeter. It's got a date, and it's got timers, obviously, because it's a chronograph. The thing that I really like about it, it's got this detail. It almost looks like it's got scales, John. I don't know how else to say it.
Huh.
On the inside where the numbers are in the case, it looks like it's almost like black scales. It's a very interesting design. Maybe not for everybody, but definitely for me, because it's a little different. And again, like I said, I would feel comfortable wearing this every day. Maybe it's a little fancier than an everyday, but for me, it's an everyday.
Well, I mean, everyone's got their own style of watch, and I think, like you said, Fossil has a very good way of diversifying their lineup to meet everybody's needs. So I'll give you guys a little bit of background on my history of watches. First time I got, I think, over $100 watch, I was probably 17, 18. I was at the Rentham
young jock
outlets.
Ooh, Rentham.
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 Yeah, because there's a Fossil outlet.
There you go. Rentham. See, perfect.
And went into the outlet, found myself a Fossil watch, and that's where I started. Also started with Fossil, because I really do believe Fossil is a great beginner's watch.
Hard to go wrong.
Right. There's so many different styles you can choose from. You're going to find something that meets your wrist size, your needs, your likes. You buy it, you know, it's usually between, like, what is it, like 100 to 150 for a really nice watch.
Oh, yeah, easily.
So it's decently priced.
Well, and one big thing, too, is that they really do have some nice watches that have leather bands. Now, my problem is that I actually, for some reason, I don't know what it is, I don't know if it's a combination of sweat and leather or something. So I would not be good in 50 Shades of Grey is what I'm saying, okay? Because I would be breaking out all over the place. Nobody wants to see 60 Shades of Swordsman, I'll tell you that right now. All right, I'm not signing up for that movie. My wife certainly is not signing up for that movie, nor is anyone else.
Different various shades of red.
That's right. Well, that's my favorite color. So, I mean, but you can go all over the map with reds. I mean, it could be subtle. You can even be a near salmon, and I'm still interested. I'm still interested, but I can't do leather bands. You are lucky you can.
I can.
And that's another big price point differential, because if you're talking, the cost between a leather band and a stainless steel band or ceramic or even a silicone. That's definitely a big sticking point and a big difference. And you can get a very nice watch from Fossil or some other company that has a leather band, and it would be less expensive than getting all steel, because typically they're at least, I would say, $45 to $65 less in price.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, anyway, that's where I started with my watches, a nice Fossil watch as well, so we have the same background. Diversifying my watches, you and I, at one point, had two of the same exact watches. Because we bought them together.
That's correct.
Love watches.
Now we only have one of the same.
Now we only have one, because your other one got stolen.
That's right. All of them actually got stolen.
Well, yes, except for the
one. Except for the one on my wrist, yes.
Which I'm glad is still a one that we both have.
Exactly. Together. I mean, serendipity? Well, not really, because I got fucking robbed, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, close enough.
Yep, all right.
Close enough.
Yep.
So I branched off a little bit into, I guess, local American companies who are trying to start their own watches. One of my favorite ones that I have on right now is an Original Grain. I'd advise you guys to go check out originalgrain.com. It is stainless steel and wood mixed together to create sex on your wrist, is how I would describe it. The colors
hairy
have,
sex right. on that wrist.
Oh, yes. Well, it's Portuguese.
You're Portuguese. Yeah, it's a Portuguese wrist.
So I've got what they call the Iron Man. It is like a red mahogany and gold brushed stainless steel.
So it looks like the original Iron Man.
So it looks like Mr. Iron Man.
That's right, Mr. Tony Stark.
Yeah, it's a 47 millimeter watch. You know, price point wasn't bad. I think I got this for like $120. It looks sleek. It's definitely a conversation starter. I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, "Oh, I really like your watch. Is that actual wood?" And then I'm like, "Yes, it is." And then they get wowed.
Yes, I mean, I was actually impressed by this watch as well. When you showed me the picture to start with, I was not overly enthusiastic.
That's honestly exactly what happened to me. Even when I got it in and I saw it in the box, I thought to myself, I don't think I'm going to like this. And I didn't for a couple of days until I kept wearing it and I knew that was it. I loved the watch.
Now, and that's something that's important if you can. You know, a lot of the watches we get now, we order online just because we know our tastes well enough by now. But if you're newer getting into this, or you really are concerned about whether or not it's the right fit, maybe it's a size thing.
Yep.
You know, I was real worried about size for a while, and until I actually went and tried on the sizes that were similar to what I was looking at getting. But I would definitely recommend you physically go to a place, whether
it's... Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go to a Macy's or a Bloomingdale's.
Yeah, Filene's, if there's still one. There aren't any.
No, there aren't Filene's. Nordstrom,
yeah. Or Fossil. Go to whatever.
Or a Fossil store.
I mean, and check it out. Put them on your wrist. And then I do want to talk briefly, too, about the other watch that I got.
Of course.
This is a Buchanan chronograph, which is very nice. And... actually, no, I think I switched up the names. Did I say the other one was a Dean? I think I did. Mm. Yep, totally screwed up. So anyway, the other one that I have, it's just a name. It's no big deal. But the other one I have is a 42 millimeter, and it's silver and gold. And it basically, my obsession for a while was I wanted to get something to match my wedding ring in color, which is gold and platinum.
Yes.
Hammered platinum. Ooh. Yes, it's very nice. I have a...
It is a really nice
It is.
Ring.
It is. I mean, and funny story about... Let's just go completely on a tangent. Funny story about the ring is that we were going ring shopping, and you know, obviously shopping for a ring is another thing you should definitely do in a store with human beings and not online. First of all, you're just overwhelmed if you do it online. But if you go to the store, you can, you know, try it on your finger.
Yeah.
So we went to a jeweler here locally, and... was trying some on. I was like, oh, well, I kind of like this one, kind of like that one. And I said, hey, you know, do you have any other ones that aren't in this display case? Because obviously men's jewelry, there's never as much as there is for women. And the guy's like, yeah, let me go check it back there. Let me look. So, you know, it comes back a little while later. He goes, yeah, well, I found this one. And it's the one I have on my ring finger now. Mm. And tried it on, fit perfectly. And I go, wow, this is great. What's the price or whatever? And... he looked at the price, and like you could tell that he thought it was wrong, but then he was like, well, it says this, so this is what it is, and I'm like, okay, great, I'll take it then. And so what happened is, is that they're back there, like, wrapping it up or completing the sale in the register, because we're kind of in the front of the store, and the register was in the back. And I see that, like, the guy has called over a manager. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is weird. And he's, like, talking to him for a while, and then another person comes over, and they're talking, and I'm like, okay, I don't know what's up with this. So then the manager comes over, and he's like, look, I got to let you know, we're going to give you this ring for the price that we quoted you minutes ago. But turns out that the watch had been sitting. Somebody had ordered it custom and never picked it up.
Wow.
So, I mean, obviously you could look at that as being a terrible omen of a marriage, but I looked at it as a great deal.
Absolutely.
And it looks fantastic, so I couldn't say no. And so he's like, we're going to give you the price you were quoted, but just to let you know, this should be like several thousand dollars more because of the prices of gold and platinum have gone up significantly.
Hey, that is fantastic. You got an awesome ring on it.
I know. Look at that. Well, and a better wife.
Correct.
That's right. It was really more about the wife than the ring and her liking it. Obviously.
Yeah, good point.
But anyway, so that was great. And so my obsession now for a long time has been to get a watch that matches the ring in color. Mm-hmm. And I had one, but then, of course, it got stolen. So the new one that I am going to receive here is going to be fantastic. I'm very happy about it. Again, another fossil. So, and we'll have pictures of that up on the website soon. So, you know, maybe we could talk a little bit just about when we're looking for watches. Or, you know, obviously, you know, you can never have too many.
No.
But it's good to diversify.
Correct.
And in our mind, I think the diversification process kind of happens in a particular way. So why don't you lead off on that, John?
Yeah, I mean, so for me, the diversification process kind of, I do a lot of based on what clothes I'm going to wear. So got black pants, got a black watch. You know, I've got my gold and mahogany watch that pretty much goes with everything.
It does.
You know, you've got your fancy watches. For me, a nice self-winding leather band watch for high-quality occasions like weddings. You know, I've got another self-winding watch that is more of an everyday watch that can be used to go swimming. You know, I've got
What do you use when you're out there catching codfish?
I guess that would be my everyday winding watch.
It does.
Yeah.
Makes
sense. You just set it, and
it goes
with the sun.
There you go.
It goes with the sun. Just like us Portuguese.
It's amazing. That's right.
That's how we discovered the world.
Well, how far you've fallen. At least Polish people never went anywhere and didn't have a country for several hundred years.
It's true. We tried so hard and we did so well.
I know. It's true.
And now here we are.
That's right.
But yeah, so, you know, it's mainly taking a look at your wardrobe, for me at least, finding out what the things you wear the most are, and accessorizing your wrist to them.
Couldn't agree with you more. I mean, that's basically how I look at it as well. I would say that just bare minimum, what's nice to have is one stainless steel that's just regular steel, and then a black one, I think, because black, depending, it could be fancier or it could be everyday. Steel, kind of same way.
Yep.
And then it's nice if you can get a dark watch face and then a lighter one.
Absolutely.
One that I had just gotten before it was taken from me was a very nice, it had blue detailing in it. It was a white face with blue detailing. It was a Citizen, and it was fantastic. And I also got it for about $300 off its base retail price, which was also
amazing.
Well, I
think that's always the key, is we're always...
we're looking for the deals.
Right.
Yes.
We don't go out and buy a couple $1,000 watches yet.
No. Well, we're not rich enough from this yet.
Correct.
Meaning that we don't make any money off of this at all.
Correct. Zero money.
That's why we're in a fucking shed.
Yeah.
But it's our fucking shed, John.
It is our shed.
That's right.
With me and you.
Just us.
But, yeah, I mean, you gotta have your base collection of watches. If you're not going to break out like James does, I would suggest you get at least one leather band watch, and that leather band should be a black leather band.
Makes sense.
Because, I mean, you know, if you have to go to funerals, you know, put on a watch, make yourself look presentable. Usually a leather watch is ideal for that type of situation. Same thing with a wedding. If you're wearing a, you know, obviously you're not going to avoid wearing black suits to a wedding, number one.
Yes. Well, and it, depending upon how well you know the person, you may want to actually dress up in a suit that looks like you're the American flag.
I did do that.
So that way, if for some reason the Star Spangled Banner plays multiple times, when there's no flag in the room, your drunk friends can salute you instead.
I got to wave as the American flag.
It was incredible.
So, because none of you have any idea what we're talking about, our friend Buddy was getting married, and in the video game Grand Theft Auto, my avatar wears white pants. And Buddy always thought it was amazing that my guy wore white pants. I don't know why.
He couldn't get over it.
He just couldn't get over it.
He would literally just refer to you as the man in the white pants.
Yeah, it blew his mind every time.
Apparently he had never owned nor worn a pair of white pants in his life.
No.
He was missing out, first of all.
Correct. So when he got married in June, I decided I was going to show up in white pants. And since it was a summertime wedding, what goes with white pants? A nice gingham-style red blazer. Yep, whoopa gingham style. And blue shirt, and I think I had a red bow tie, and I looked like the American flag.
You killed it.
And then, so for some reason, during this intermission for the wedding, they started playing...
patriotic tunes.
Patriotic tunes. God Bless America was one of them.
Lee Greenwood was heavily featured in this, by the way.
And then for... I have no idea why. I've never heard this before, ever in a wedding. The Star Spangled Banner was played. There's no flag in the room, just me. And flag,
that's
F-L-A-G.
That's all I needed.
And I just... You know, stood up and started waving myself around.
It was perfect.
And I got saluted. It was amazing.
Yes, by several people.
I know.
I think my father also saluted you.
I think he did.
He probably did. Eventually, we'll have Mark on here, and it's going to be incredible. Little update on the cigar from me.
Yes.
I'm about halfway through right now. It's gotten spicier. Mm-hmm. So, you know, unlike the one we had last week, which really kind of mellowed, this one, spicier. Which again is good. It's really pairing nicely with the sweeter drink that we have today. I think if we would have had a regular bourbon, I don't think it would have quite the effect that it's having. Which is good. I'm very happy with it.
Yeah.
How about
you? Mine is you know, it didn't really change much. It's still mild. I'm still getting the same notes as I was before. It's good. It's not great. I mean, I was expecting more out of something that was. Supposedly a cigar of the year.
The Sidewinder?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The Sidewinder.
The Sidewinder.
Sidewinder!
Oh, man. We could do a whole podcast just on amazing game jingles from when we were kids.
And who's to say we won't?
We definitely could. Definitely could.
I think it'll happen. But we should probably get back to watches.
Yes, important. Another thing to think of is that if you are really getting serious about... watches. It's nice to have something nice to keep them in.
Mm.
Initially, John was actually very nice. I did not have a watch box. I was just keeping them in the boxes that they came in. And John bought me a watch a display case. You know, nothing too fancy, but it was nice to have.
Yep.
And I had my wife for my birthday had bought me an even nicer one, which is why all of the watches were kept in the same box. And then were taken on the same day. So if you're going to display your watches in a watch box, make sure you don't do it on the main level of your home.
Yes.
Unless you have an alarm system, which now I do, I would really recommend you just keep them, you know, in your bedroom. So they're a little harder to find.
Yeah. Yeah. My, you know, I had to give you the watch case because you needed to put them in something. Because you got to keep them well. My the watch case I have now I actually got as a gift from my girlfriend. She does not believe in giving watches because...
You have too many?
Well, that's what I think.
Yes.
But she says it's some sort of Azorian, you know, wives' tale.
Oh, really?
Where if you give a watch to your significant other, it means you're on borrowed time. So that your relationship will end.
So it's some sort of Portuguese witchcraft?
No, it is an Azorian witchcraft.
Oh, that's even worse.
Correct. Portuguese people in the continent do not believe this. So anyway, she gave me a watch box instead. Very nice. Holds. Now I have spaces, I think, for 4 more watches, so I'd need to fill those out. Has a nice little saying on the top of it. It says, the best time is time spent with you.
Oh.
Or something like that. And it is great. It is nice to look at while I go get my watches. I know who it's from. And,
Sentiment is very important with a watch. It can be very important with a watch,
yes,
too. You know, the watches we're talking about that we're getting, I mean, these are not, like, necessarily heirloom watches to be passed down that when you're an old man, you're going to, you know, give to your grandson or whatever. I mean, we don't think at this point anyway that it makes any sense to really take that extra step, because you can get, what, 8 watches?
Yeah.
Maybe more.
You can get more.
For the cost of what would be an acceptable luxury watch.
Well, the other day I was looking at them while I was writing this awesome article on watch subscriptions.
Well, wait, can we find that on gentsconfab.com?
You can. You can actually find that on gentsconfab.com.
And also on our social media pages,
correct,
I think.
Yes. So, I you know, that got me to think, like, how much is a Rolex? Because I kind of want to get a Rolex.
I would go Omega myself, but that's just because of Bond.
Well, yes. But, so, you know, I'm shopping around, and it's like 11 grand for a really nice Rolex that isn't even, like, diamond-encrusted with anything.
We could get a nicer shed for 11 grand.
Absolutely. So, to think, like, 11 grand, I could have at least 50 more watches.
See, and that's the way to look at it. Whenever you're looking at a watch and you think it's expensive, just look at a more expensive watch. And then say, wow, I'm really saving money with this. Because that will really help you justify the purchase to the significant others in your lives.
Exactly.
And also to yourself.
Exactly. But I know for me, at some point, I do want to get an heirloom watch. Because I want something to pass down to my kids. And it to be something nice that's not like, hey, I'm dead, take my shitty car that I have.
Take this Timex.
Yeah, get a...
Not that there's anything wrong with some Timexes.
No.
But it's not an heirloom watch.
Yeah, I got this Seiko here for you. Or a Casio watch.
Oh, no.
Like a calculator Casio watch.
Well, I mean, if it was an original... My father actually told me he had an original, I think, Casio digital display watch when it first came out in the 70s.
You know, those are...
And, of course, he doesn't have it anymore, so it's pointless. But
those are actually selling for, like, a couple $100 online now. It's very interesting. But, again, I don't know. I would never wear that. But,
I mean, if we ever get into a really good discussion on luxury watches, there is, you know, we I think I would consider myself a watch aficionado more than a watch expert.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas our mutual friend Brent is actually a watch expert. He knows more about... You know, he knows about the dates and the times of when certain Rolexes were made and all
that
this kind of stuff. So
about.
It would be interesting to bring him on at some point and get his thoughts on that as part of a grander discussion.
Yep.
But yeah, in terms of, you know, passing it down, I know that I've obviously had this discussion with my wife about getting a very nice watch in the thousands of dollars. And she said that when we have our, I think, 35th anniversary, which we're almost coming up on 5 soon.
30 more years.
It's within reach.
So before then.
Yes.
When you're 50.
Yes.
And then I'm 50.
Yes.
Like 3 years later.
Exactly.
We'll get each other Rolexes. So then you'll have a Rolex and an Omega.
My man. That's what I'm talking about.
Then we'll have 2 heirloom watches.
It's perfect. We just pass them down to each other. I'm about to... It's going to be like it's a Thomas Jefferson, John Adams situation. We're both dying at the same time, but don't know.
Nope.
At least John is still alive to have my heirloom watch.
And I'm dead.
Exactly. And then I'm just... I never get to be sad because I don't know.
Yep. It's true. That'd be a good way to go out.
It would be.
Thinking you're alive and you'll get my stuff, and then you're also dead.
Exactly. Well, you know.
And then we'll just meet each other in the city in the sky.
That's right. The afterlife.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what'll happen.
But so, you know, interesting thing about heirloom watches is with all these smartwatches now, what happens? Like, you can't pass down technology.
No, because it's always improving.
Right. Like, who wants a computer from 95? Who wants a Windows 95 computer? Nobody.
Well, I could think of one person that might, just because there might be some value to it. But, you know, buddy.
Yep.
Yep. But no, you're absolutely right. And now I did get into the smartwatch business. I wasn't making them or something in a sweatshop in the shed. I was just purchasing one. And the one that I got was a Moto 360. And I'm a big fan of Motorola products. My phone is one. Actually, my last three phones have been Motorola's, going back to the Razr long ago. Mm-hmm. And so I got this watch. And it was a steel band. Pretty big, obviously, because you want a display you could see. Yeah. But I liked it. You know, we'd had a conversation, I think, last week, not on the podcast, but just talking about smartwatches in general. Mm-hmm. Because there's one coming out that we're kind of maybe interested in getting. We'll talk about that in a sec. But and I, you know, your big argument against it was, well, if I get a smartwatch and I like it, then why would I wear another watch?
Right.
Because it does so much more than just a regular watch. And I said, well, for me, what ended up happening is that I did really wear that watch every day for about a month. And then I was like, well, yeah, maybe I'll just not charge it today, and I'll wear a regular one. Mm-hmm. And then it just went back into the rotation, you know? It wasn't something, and again, I wasn't using it for fitness tracking, because I don't believe in physical fitness. you know, I never go to a gym, ever.
Yep, I think that's how it's pronounced.
I think, well, that's, gym. I believe, I'm told from experts. I'm doing air quotes right
Gimes.
Now. Gyms. But it was nice to get notifications on my, you know, in my job, I'm desk-bound. And I do get a lot of phone calls during the day from various people that I need to actually respond to.
Or, you know, group texts.
Exactly. It, very important. And so this was nice because I could leave my phone at my desk,
yeah.
But I could walk around in the vicinity and still get, you know, a notification saying that I was getting a call or I had gotten a text message, so then I could go back to the phone and do it. So there definitely is a convenience to it that I like. I would not think that... I don't think there'll be a time when they completely replace, just because, well, at least not in the near future. Maybe 15, 20 years down the line, if we do this that long and we're having a conversation, then maybe something has changed.
Yeah.
I don't have an Apple phone, so I can't get an Apple Watch. You, however,
right.
Are thinking about a smartwatch.
That's my dilemma.
And you're thinking either that or there's a new watch that's actually coming out in a couple days, I believe.
Yeah,
or weeks. Oh, is it the first?
March 1st.
Great. Yeah. So that's the Fitbit Blaze.
Yes.
And that styling is similar to an Apple Watch.
Yes. It's
got that square kind of look.
Yep.
Definitely not as... It doesn't look like the case is as big, but it doesn't do as much as an Apple Watch either.
No. And that, I guess that's my...
Dilemma.
That's my huge dilemma is, one... I would use it for the fitness tracker because for the longest time I did have a Jawbone, like a wristband thing that I used.
Yeah, you actually do some things that require physical fitness.
I do go to the gym. I go to the gym quite a bit.
That's good.
And
I think that's how it's said.
And, you know, I used that wristband for the longest time until it died out on me. I actually used it for 6 months. It died in 6 months, and that's when I said, screw technology on my wrist. It is a waste of time. And then I just continued to buy regular watches. So my big thing is, if I'm going to use a fitness tracker, and that fitness tracker is a watch, am I ever going to wear any of my other, I don't know, 10 watches? And the answer is, like, probably not, unless I'm going to some sort of fancier occasion. I don't see a need to wear that unless I take my fitness watch... To throw it in my duffel bag for the gym, and you know, just put it on then. But then, what's the point? I'm getting all these notifications to a watch that's not even on my wrist.
Also true.
So that's my thing is, do I want technology on my wrist? How much do I love the watches I have now? And could I replace that with another watch? And then my other big point is the Apple Watch is $350 for the base.
Correct.
The Fitbit Blaze is, I think, $200 for the base price. I can see paying $200 for something that I'm just going to throw in a duffel bag and use when I go to the gym.
And it does have interchangeable bands, I believe, as well, which is nice.
But I can't see throwing a $350 watch into my duffel bag only to use for like an hour or two every day. I can't see that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's been quite a pickle for me.
Well, I'm sure we'll have an update on that. And also, of course, the great temptation here is because we're only down to one watch that's the same, mm-hmm. we may have to go two. And then that would mean we'd have to get the Fitbit Blaze.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
I'd be fine getting the Fitbit Blaze. But I also kind of want the Apple Watch.
Which makes
because
sense.
Because I'm always going to have an iPhone.
And it can do more.
Right. And it can do more. But then the other thing is they're saying that they're going to have another Apple Watch at the end of this year. So am I just going to wait for that?
Well, and that's the problem with any technology like we were talking about is it's why would I get this now? When I know there's going to be something better later.
Right. But it's not like it was last year where it's like, all right, I just got an Apple Watch. It's exciting. Great. I don't care if the new one comes out. Like, this would be coming out this year.
Yes. So
I feel terrible buying an Apple Watch. And then, like, a couple months later, there's a new Apple Watch that I can FaceTime people from my wrist.
Well, everybody wants to be Dick Tracy.
Absolutely.
Let's just get that. I was actually watching Dick Tracy the movie earlier today. Just, I don't know why, but it was on. And I do happen to like that movie. As comic book movies go, it was so over the top and ridiculous, especially the scene where Mumbles, played by Dustin Hoffman, just is trying to say things to Tracy and thinks he's being clever, and then Tracy just slows down a tape that was a fake water dispenser, I think shaped like a polar bear that was bugged. With a tape player, obviously. And all he did was, like, grab the tape and slow it down, and then Mumbles was just giving so much information.
Oh, this is a movie I haven't seen in a very long time.
Well, they're playing it like crazy on the premium channels right now. So, if you're interested, it's there for you.
I would be.
Any update on the cigar, John?
It's gotten a little bit spicier. I mean, the flavor profiles of this have pretty much remained consistent. It's not a super dynamic cigar. You're pretty much getting what you get from the first puff until the last puff.
Which isn't a bad thing.
No, it's not. But I don't know. I like the variations and changes through the stages of the cigar.
Makes sense.
And I don't get it with this. It's a little sad.
Well, you know, it's all right.
But it's a solid smoke. It's still a premium cigar. I understand why people really love this cigar. The smoke in it is wonderful. It has a nice, easy draw, but there's nothing special to it, to me.
Well, that's the most important thing, because I'm not smoking that cigar, so I can't tell
it's
you.
That's true. How about yours?
Good. You know, I mean, I'm kind of almost done, I think. Mm. So we may have to wrap it up here. But, yeah, I mean, it's actually mellowed a little bit here at the end. Not getting as much spice.
Interesting.
The draw is very nice. Again, you know, sometimes the problem with the Maduro cigars, the darker cigars, is the draw. And sometimes at the end, it's harder to draw, I find.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm worried sometimes when I do a V-cut that maybe it's not going to be enough. But on this one, it is. So clearly, it's filled right, and the wrapper was a good selection for them. So I would definitely recommend it. Again, I was going with a diesel uncut Toro today. With a Nicaraguan filler and I believe a Pennsylvania broadleaf on here, so I'd
good. I'm glad that one came out well, and I look forward to smoking it since we both got the same thing in our Cigar of the Month club.
That's right. And well, let's hit about that real quick before we sign off.
True.
So one thing we really didn't talk about is the gift that we gave to each other for Christmas, which was we gave each other a Cigar of the Month club membership. So that we would get 8 cigars that were the same every month.
Yep.
So two of the same cigar.
Right.
Not
right.
8 of the same cigar.
Correct.
2 of the same cigar. Again, math, not my strong suit.
8 cigars total.
Yes.
4 different types of cigars.
Yes. And of course, the big thing was we'll have them, you know, together or we'll have them around the same time and it'll be great. And, you know, for the intents and purposes of this, you know, we're splitting it up because we don't want to be talking about the same cigar.
Right.
When we could be talking about 2 different ones.
Correct. It'd be foolish.
I think so. And that's what we decided. But anyway, so we got this Cigar of the Month Club membership from Cigar International, which, you know, we do like to go to our local tobacconists the ones we like. I know there's one in North Providence we go to sometimes. Yep. There's actually a Cigar Masters here in Providence that I go to probably about once a week with our mutual friend Nick, and I have a great time there. Every time, you know, the staff there is fantastic. But in terms of this, it was a great deal more than anything else because, I mean, the price point for the four cigars, which are not – they're not giving you, like, Ron Mexico cigars.
Right.
Which are, you know, like $2 a stick. They're giving you sticks that are probably $6 to $8 a tap.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
That Alec Bradley I had last podcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that the Mundial.
Yeah, I mean, that was – I think it was like a $8-$9 stick. So – you know, you're getting a quality stick for the Cigar of the Month Club, and it lets you change it up.
Which is important. And again, if you're not a big cigar person and you're getting into cigars, it's nice to have that kind of variety because, you know, even when we weren't doing this, we would be, you know, it's probably twice a year, we just do a big order of samplers that, you know, we would just try out and we'd each get the same kind of sampler and then have them that way. Because really, if you don't... There are people that, you know, okay, they've got one kind of cigar they really like, and that's their you know, and everybody has go-to cigars. But some people just swear up and down to the same one, and, you know, they'll get a box at $20, $25, you know, and usually they're higher-priced cigars. You know, I'm thinking, like, you know, people that love Dunhill, people that love Davidoff, you know, Monte Cristos, boxes that'll cost you, you know, in the upper hundies, low twos, for a box of $20-$25. And not to say that that's wrong, because I don't think it is, but again, it's nice to have the ability to switch it up and to experience a different cigar for different occasions or just to have one, you know?
That, and I think when you find a cigar in the sampler that you really enjoy, you can go out and buy your box of that particular cigar.
Correct. And there is a big, our big one that we like together is... the Red Eye. The Red Eye is this is an amazing cigar. It's by, again, our guy, who we just love, Jonathan Drew, Drew Estates.
Yep.
This cigar, unbelievable. It tastes like, well, it tastes like heaven. It's fantastic. The smoke is amazing. It's slightly flavored, so it's got that that kind of coffee,
it's a coffee cocoa flavor.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just... so
you know,
good.
They make a bigger version of that.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's I think it's just the, like, Tabac Especial, but it's not Red Eye. It's like a regular 6-inch,
ooh,
I think, cigar.
That might be in our future, then.
Yeah, we'll probably have to go down to the tobacconist and pick one up, because I did see it there while we were there last time.
All right, well, now we know what we can do.
So, quickly, on this Recluse Amadeus, I think I found out why it's not a real box press, and it's called the Sidewinder, because the more I smoked it, the less it became a box press, and it started turning into a regular, like...
It is kind of rounding out. Yeah, you're right.
It's interesting.
Yeah, the ash is round.
Yep.
That's interesting. Huh.
I guess that's why it's a Sidewinder.
See, the more you know.
I know.
That's copyrighted, so actually, just don't say that.
Right. You've been informed.
There you go. That can't be copyrighted. All right, well, we want to thank you guys for tuning in again. We're about to tap out. Again, for John, who's about to say goodbye himself, I'm James. Thanks again for listening to the Gentlemanly Confabulation podcast, this episode 2. Hope that you enjoyed it, and we're just going to keep going onward and upward from here. Always, of course, you can check us out at the website, gentsconfab.com, and across all of our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Yep, at gentsconfab. Bourbon, the old-fashioned, was delicious. Bully Boy Distillers in Boston, Massachusetts. They did a fantastic job. Guys, thank you very much for listening, and have a good one.